We're going to come to the Word of God this evening, and we have two short readings. The first one in the Old Testament in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 22, and we're going to read Numbers chapter 22 from verse 21 down to verse 38, and then we're going to read, our second reading is in the New Testament, and it's in 2 Peter chapter 2, and just one verse there, the verse 15. So Numbers chapter 22, and the verse 21, and we'll read down to verse 38, please. The Word of God says, "And Balaam rose up in the morning, and saddled his ass, and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself onto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. The Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, Because thou hast mocked me, I would there would a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden, ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, Nay. And the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore it displeased thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. When Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him in a city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is in the utmost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, Did not I earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor? And Balaam said unto Balak, Lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. And we'll finish there at the end of verse 38, and then just one verse in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. Peter's writing here about those who have rejected the Lord, those who are seeking to go their own way. And he's speaking about them, says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Amen. We'll finish there again, knowing God will bless his word to our hearts. Now, what we have read this evening seems like a very strange account, a strange passage of Scripture. Indeed, it seems like a strange passage of Scripture to read when we come to preach the gospel. But what we have in Numbers chapter 22 is the account of a false prophet by the name of Balaam. Balaam's been approached by the king of Moab, a man called Balak. You'll read about him earlier on in the chapter in verse 2. It speaks about him, and he saw that Israel and what Israel had done after they had been delivered out of Egypt and how they've come in to possess the land. And he's fearful, and his people are fearful. So therefore, Balak, the king of Moab, sets his eyes upon the destruction of the children of Israel. Now, of course, we know that God had promised that the children of Israel would enter into the land that he had promised them. He had entered into a covenant with Abraham ever before they had even gone into the land of Egypt. And before they came back out into the promised land, God had told Abraham, that his people would enter the land. They would inherit the land. God had told Abraham that the promised deliverer, the Messiah, would come from the people, from the line of Abraham. So of course, because we know that those promises are there, because we know that God has promised and God is faithful to his promises, we know the Lord is not going to allow his people to be destroyed, because he's a sovereign God and he's a promise-keeping God. God's going to protect his people. And even to this day, God is still protecting Israel. God is still protecting his people in that sense. But when we come to this passage that we've read this evening, Balak, the king of Moab, he approaches this man Balaam that we've read about. Balaam's a false prophet. He's from the land of Mesopotamia. And Balak comes to him. He's a pagan prophet. And he asks him to curse the children of Israel. We read about that in verse 5 and verse 6 of chapter 22. In verse 6, Balak says, "Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me." So he's come to Balaam, and he's asked him to curse the people. Now, when we piece together everything that we read in Scripture about Balaam, we find a man who has a reputation for doing things to line his own pockets. We find a man who has a desire to do whatever he can do to better himself and to increase his wealth. In fact, just over a couple of chapters in Numbers 24, we read about this again. Time and time again in Scripture, he's referred to as a false prophet. But yet one of the things that we notice when we read about Balaam in Numbers chapter 22 is that he seemed to think that he could negotiate with God. He thought that he had contact with God and that he could communicate with God on God, on his own terms, not on God's terms. He thought that he had this access where he could come and he could do whatever he wanted, and he would negotiate with God. When you read about Balaam trying to communicate with God, you'll find that although God responded to him, there's no recognition by God of Balaam being in fellowship with him. Throughout all of the dealings that we read about, Balaam might call God the Lord, and he does indeed use that term about the Lord, but in response it speaks about how God came unto him, and the tense of that and the thought of that is that Balaam had no knowledge of God other than a head knowledge. God came to him, and God spoke to him, and God instructed him, but Balaam very clearly wasn't obeying God, and indeed had no real knowledge of God. But he asks God the question about whether he should go and do what Balak, the king of Moab, has asked him. And God originally tells him not to go. He tells him in no uncertain terms not to go. But Balak comes back to Balaam again. And he makes another offer to Balaam. And indeed the offer is in response to Balaam asking for a house full of silver and gold. He says, "If Balak would give me his house of silver and gold." He wants a substantial payment. He's the one who's introduced this idea of payment. And then he says, "If you do this, if you promise this, well, I'll go to the Lord again and I'll see what God will say." This time God says to go, but God's not giving him permission to curse Israel. God's not giving him permission to go out there and to do what Balaam thinks he can do. God is only moving in order to show his power, to show his hand at work, and in order that God would be glorified through this. So what we see here is a man who thinks he can bargain with God. This is a man who thinks he can have the best of both worlds. He can live in the world and he can negotiate with God. In other words, he's a double-minded man. But when we come to our passage this evening, and really it's that verse 34 that I want us to pick up this little phrase from, where it tells us, "Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease me, I will get me back again." There's three things about this man I want us to notice. I want you to notice, first of all, the foolish path which he took. The foolish path he took. Now, as we read here, Balaam has questioned the will of God in terms of whether he should go and curse God's people on behalf of Balak, the king of Moab. Tells us in verse 21 that Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. God had told him not to go. Originally had told him not to go. And what we have here is a man who has tried to negotiate in order to get his own way. We have a man who may have laid the claim of prophet, a prophet of God, as it were, he suggested himself, but yet he didn't really want to obey the Lord. He didn't really know the Lord. He's a man who says all the right things, a man who makes all the right noises, but at the end of the day, all he wanted was his own thing. And you know, the Lord sometimes allows us to get a taste of what we want in order to see where they'll take us. So God has allowed Balaam then to go part of the way, allowed him to follow his own desires, to follow his own path. You know, God's not a tyrant. And he demonstrated that here because he's given instruction to Balaam. But as he has gone down the road, and as Balaam has started to go on the way, it tells us that the angel of the Lord continued to put obstacles in his way as he headed down a path of sin and down a path of disobedience. It tells us, and we read it in verse 23, the angel of the Lord was revealed to Balaam's donkey and it turned out of the way. The donkey took Balaam on the path that he was on. It took his eyes off the way that he was going. But Balaam's heart was set on the way Balaam wanted to go. The donkey turned aside, but Balaam knew he wanted to go straight on. Tells us he smote the ass to turn her into the way. You see, he's determined in his path. He's determined to head down this path, even though God has said no. Even though God has told him this is not the way to go, he heads down this path. Friend, this evening, I want to ask you a question. What path are you on? What road are you on tonight? Are you still on the road of sin, the path of sin? Are you in that place where you haven't got right with God? And you're headed along this road. The Bible talks about two roads. It talks about the broad way and the narrow way. And the broad way is the way of sin. It's the way of destruction, as it were. It's the way that leads to hell. God sometimes puts obstacles in your path when you're on that way to get your attention, to speak to you. Has God tried to turn you from the way that you're headed? Has God caused something to come into your life recently and it has caused you to question your mortality? It's caused you to question life itself. Has brought you to a place where perhaps you were lying in a hospital bed or whatever it might have been. But you're still pressing on that road that you were going. In your determination, you're forcing yourself down into the path. Is that the stage you're at right now? Where you're still headed your way. Still going your way. Rejecting God's way. I want you to see what the Lord did next. Because God kept on speaking. Tells us in verse 25, when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crossed Balaam's foot against the wall. So first of all, God has just tried to turn them out of the way. But now God has, in a sense, has brought them to a place where he's really causing them to think, are you at a stage in life where continuing in the path of your sin is bringing harm to you? Because that's what happened to Balaam. In his determination, he pressed on. But then harm came to him in order to stop him in his tracks, in order to cause him to think, am I on the right path? And when the donkey, as it were, turned aside in that narrow place and crushed his foot against the wall, what was his response? He's still pressing on. He's still seeking to go his own way. It tells us he smote her again. Even though he had seen that harm could come his way in this rebellious path, still he wanted to press on his own way, going after his own things. He wanted the wealth and the reward that he thought he was due, and he wanted that more than to be obedient to God and to follow the word of God. Friend, this evening in our meeting, friend, this evening tuned in, perhaps walking past, I want to ask you a question tonight. Is this where you are? Is this your current standing? The Lord has spoken to you. He's tried to turn you away from your sin. And even now, there's suffering in your life. And you're still pressing on with the things that please you. And you're rejecting God. The Bible goes further. It tells us that Balaam continued. In verse 26 and 27, the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. The Lord stopped Balaam in his tracks. Stopped him dead. And he had to make a choice at this stage. He's looking at these circumstances. Three times now God has stepped in. Three times he's been stopped in his tracks in different ways. And he had a choice to make. And Balaam made the choice. It says he smote the ass with a staff. Still determined to press on the wrong way. The way that he was following. The Lord's been standing in his way. The Lord has caused all of these obstacles to come. And the Lord speaks to Balaam. And he says, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. See, God has spoken. God's stepping in. God has said, you're on the wrong way. It's a way which doesn't please me. Your way is perverse before me. Friend, this evening as you're listening, please listen. Is this where you are? Maybe you've reached this stage in your life. Maybe you've reached this stage in your experience. And maybe the Lord has brought you to a gospel meeting tonight to stop you in your tracks. To make you think about the road that you're on. Maybe that's why you're here. Because God is speaking. Are you going to press on in your sin? The way that Balaam was on was a perverse way, perverse before God. And the broad road that we all head down when we begin our life, because the Bible tells us we're born in sin. We're all born as sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's none of us who are able to make our own way of salvation. We're all on that broad road. But there's many here, and praise God, they've trusted in Christ. They've realized their sin and they've turned to Him. And they've moved because they've trusted in Christ from the broad way, as it were, onto that narrow path. Which path are you on? We see the foolish path he takes. But I want you to see, secondly, the false confession he made. In verse 34, it says, the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get thee back again. Now notice his words. This is a qualified confession. Balaam has no intentions of turning from a sinful path. The Lord has just said to him, it's a perverse path, and he's still questioning it. If it displease thee, I will get me back again. He's still asking the Lord to confirm that the way of sin that he's living is displeasing to God. It's not a statement that he's making. It's a question that he's asking. And while he said those words, I have sinned, and yes, those are the right words to say, because we all have to acknowledge that we're sinners. The reality is that for Balaam here, his heart's not in it. He's still hopeful that he can continue on in his path. He's still hopeful that he can continue on in his sin. And what we have here when we look at Balaam is a false confession. There's no intention here of obeying the Lord. There's no intention of obedience at all. He wants to continue on in his sin. And so while he uses words which seem to be the right words, they're couched in such a way that demonstrate to us that he has no intentions whatsoever of following God. Maybe you're at this stage of life where you have a choice to make. Maybe you're here, you've been confronted with the reality of God. Maybe you've been confronted with the reality that life is very brief. Maybe you've been confronted even with the reality of your sin. Maybe you're at the stage where you know that you need God's salvation. You could be there and you have listened to the gospel and you've heard the gospel before. And maybe many times you've heard it and you've rejected it. Many times you've turned away from it. And you know that you're a sinner. And you know that Christ died to save you. You know that he went to the cross. You know that there's an eternity for all. And that eternity, where you spend that eternity is dependent upon this choice that you make. Whether you choose Christ, whether you choose yourself and the path that you want to take. It's heaven or hell. Maybe tonight, in your heart, you're just a little bit like Balaam. Maybe you want to try and fool the Lord, as it were. Maybe you're doing your best tonight to look like you're on the right path, to look like you're doing the right thing. Maybe you even read and pray and pay lip service to God in a sense. I want to say to you, if you haven't sought God's mercy through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not one bit different than Balaam was. Because he had the right words, but he didn't have the right heart in the sense that he wasn't submitted to God. He wasn't accepting the way of God. He tried to appear as though he was living for God, but he had no intention of it really. He just wanted his own way. He wanted whatever would satisfy him. Friend, tonight, don't be like Balaam. We see the foolish path he took. We see the false condition or confession he made. I want you to see the fearful end he faced. Now, it doesn't tell us about his end here in Numbers chapter 22. But if you were to flick over a few pages in your Bible to Numbers chapter 31 and verse 8. And we see there, there's a battle. And it says, they slew the kings of Midian beside the rest of them that were slain. And then at the end of the verse, and it almost appears like an afterthought, but it's making a very clear point. It says, Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. Now that battle that has been fought, that we've read about in Numbers 31, God had instructed Moses that the children of Israel should be avenged of the Midianites. God had sent them out to defeat their enemy. And Balaam has given further instructions to Balak and to the Moabites about how they could defeat the children of Israel. And in the middle of everything that's going on, Balaam is killed. In Numbers 31 and 16 it says this. He says, behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord. God has spoken to Balaam. God has stopped Balaam in his tracks. God has brought him to this place where Balaam realizes that he needs to be right. And he might have the right words, but he doesn't have the right heart. And he says, I have sinned. And just a little while later on, Balaam continues on the path that he had set out to continue on. He's been instrumental in the children of Israel themselves being disobedient to God. In other words, what it tells us is this man, Balaam, led many astray. He rejected God. And God punished him. Do you know, three times in the New Testament we read about Balaam. We read one of them at the start. All three times we read about Balaam as a word of warning to God's people of the sin of Balaam. The verse we read in 2 Peter chapter 2, 15 says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. So we see there he had a love for the things of this world. Jude verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. He loved the things of this world. Revelation 2 and verse 14, thou hast there them that hold to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. He loved the things of the world. He rejected the things of God. And he turned people astray. What an indictment upon Balaam. A man who had opportunity after opportunity to get right with God. A man who God stopped in his tracks three times in one journey. An opportunity to turn from the path of sin that he was on and turn and follow the Lord. And he had it. But as Peter put it in 2 Peter 2:15, he loved the wages of unrighteousness. What's that speaking about? That's the pleasures of sin. The things that might come in this life that we might find pleasure in, but they're contrary to the way and the word of God, and they're temporary. They don't last. They don't bring lasting hope or peace or satisfaction. They bring peace perhaps for a moment, just until the next morning perhaps, or the next day, whatever it might be. Do you know what the lasting wages of unrighteousness are? Because the Bible tells us what they are. It tells us in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Those are the lasting wages of sin. Death. Separation from God. A God who sent his Son to this world to be the Savior of sinners. A God who made a way of salvation. And the wages of sin and separation from him is death. That's eternity for the sinner. Outside of Christ. Eternal separation from God. Eternal suffering in the place the Bible calls hell. That's the wages of sin. But you know, Romans 6:23 doesn't stop at the wages of sin as death. Because it goes on and it says this. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know him? Do you have eternal life? Have you come and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? He went to the cross. There he suffered and bled and died. He was guiltless, perfectly sinless, the Bible tells us. But he went to a cross and paid the price for your sin and my sin so that we could go free. The Bible tells us the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Have you trusted in him? Do you know him as your Savior? Maybe you're here tonight. God's stopping you in your tracks. Maybe you're here tonight and God's speaking to you about your need to prepare for eternity. All you need to do is come and confess your sin. Confess that you're a sinner. Accept what Christ has done. The Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Would you come to Jesus tonight? Would you get right with God? Don't leave it too late. Life's fleeting. It can be passed in a moment. One breath, you could be here. Another breath, you could be in eternity. Which road are you on? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Or are you still on that broad road? The road that Balaam stayed on, that he chose. Still following after the things of this world. Get right with God.